Thank you. Well, I mean, I'm very excited. I'm filled with hope and joy during this Advent season. I've been praying very hard about God meeting with us during this season through these messages, that the Lord would meet especially with all of us, and that He would build hope and joy and in our hearts and trust and faith, and that He would grow us in our faith and in our anticipation. And so I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for this season, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord does in my life, in my family's life, in your personal lives. I'm excited. I was struggling weeks ago deciding on exactly what the preaching layout was going to be, and I have longed for years in taking Handel's Messiah's oratorio and breaking it up and preaching through the sections of Handel's Messiah. And I'm so excited that we're going to watch it one Friday night here. What a blessing that's going to be. But I decided against that. I felt led on preaching through the visions that Isaiah, or some of the visions that Isaiah saw in Christ. And the main overarching text is Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Where it says, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. And you know, this vision was given to Isaiah on the brink of the Assyrians. I'm going to remind you guys of a little history here. I know we're all leaky buckets, right? So I'm a leaky bucket also, but I wish I had a mind like Bill Tinker and Chad Dr. Brand, who just would read it and just remember it, but I don't. So I'm gonna assume that you guys are like me, And so you're forgetting a little bit of this history of what's happening in Isaiah chapter 7 and on through the book. But the Assyrians are coming down, and they're about to enter Israel. And they're entering, and Israel's scared. Because the Assyrians have been wiping nations and countries off the face of the earth. And Israel's sitting there going, we're next. And so Isaiah gets this vision from the Lord. And there's a lot of people that think this vision was, it doesn't really mean virgin. It means young woman who gives, which you can interpret it as that word if you'd like. And that the fulfillment of this was in Isaiah chapter 8 with Isaiah's own son. And then some believe that it was with one of Hezekiah's daughters, who, if you've ever been a grandfather, you think, well, yeah, my child, this grandson, yes, this is a gift from God, you know. And so Some people think that it was one of Hezekiah's daughters who gave birth to a grandson that would sit on the throne. And so there's all these speculations. But as you know, as I've already said to you through the book of Isaiah 100 times when we went through the whole thing, I believe what Isaiah saw was exactly what he recorded. That a virgin was going to give birth to a son, and his name was going to be called Emmanuel. And that it was a vision so far beyond what anybody could grasp. What is still even, that's why I brought in this morning, it's still hard for us to really hold on and grasp that the Lord's really coming back. Isn't it? It's really difficult to exercise that in faith and to say, yes, we really believe. I mean, if I were to say, raise your hand if you believe that, everybody in this room would believe that. But I could go along one by one and show you how your actions really betray what you say you believe. Amen? Because we walk around awfully hopeless a lot of times. Right? And so, as I was praying, I just could not help but believe this is what the Lord wanted us to look at for this Advent season. And I'm excited. So if you would, turn with me. That was the introduction to the introduction. Y'all should laugh about that. All right, so turn to Isaiah chapter 11 and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we come to you now desperately pleading, please, Lord, help us. There are so many things surrounding us, beating us down, encircling us, Lord, truly, truly, in so many ways, we can relate to what the Israelites were facing with the Assyrians coming down. That they believed that there was no hope for the future and that things, doom and gloom is right around the corner. And Lord, we not just feel like that for our nation, we feel like that for the world. And Lord, there are some of us that are sitting here this morning that they feel like that individually, in their marriages, in their families, with their friends. Lord, please help us see the hope that is in Christ. Lord, there is no man alive that can explain this and teach this. But Lord, you can. You can do it. You can put forth your Spirit, Lord, and you could use a donkey to speak your truth, and we would see it. So, Lord, that is our prayer. That's our prayer this morning, that you would show us the hope that we have in Christ, that we would see you and put our trust in you and let all these other things just fall off and do what we know we got to do for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 11. I want to read the whole passage, 16 verses. And then I want to start. I want to get into it. So Isaiah chapter 11, if you're looking for a title, this is a title. Isaiah sees the Christ of hope. Isaiah sees the Christ of hope. I'm going to read it to you as you follow along. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This is when it really gets good in verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Amen. And the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. A cow and a bear shall graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. So just so you guys know, if this is a picture of heaven, there's going to be snakes in heaven. Sorry for those who are weirded out about that, okay? I just had to bring that up. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den, and they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. That's the point, right? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Amen. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time and recover the remnant. So the Lord is going to reach out, and wherever his people are, he's going to bring them in to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and the islands of all the seas. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the despised of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Also, the envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. Amen. Whew. But they shall fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines together toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With the mighty wind, he will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod. Verse 16. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people, glory, who will be left from Assyria as it was from Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt. Man, what hope! What glorious hope! What a picture that he has given us here. The vision of Christ that he has given us in this chapter. Matter of fact, I know I'm biased to Isaiah, but I know not another passage. John chapter 14, definitely you can put that in there. And Revelation chapter 21 of the new heavens and new Jerusalem. And that could be, but honestly, I know of no other chapter in all of Scripture that gives me greater hope in the future than this chapter. You know, we long to see the return of paradise. We long for that. There is something about this that attracts us. And it even the past in our own lives, as we look back, there's things in our past that attracts us. When we think of even our own short journey of life, but especially when we hear stories and read stories in the Scripture of Eden and the garden and perfection, even when we have never experienced something, we like it. We long for it. And it seems like the older that I get, and I'm sure the older that you get, we long for the good old days, right? Even if we never really experienced the good old days, even if they were stories passed down from our grandparents and our great-grandparents, we celebrate and should, and it's right for us to celebrate anniversaries and birthdays, not just because they're milestones, which they are, for those who are celebrating them, but because they focus our memories. They help us remember days gone by. You know, it was interesting. My aunt gathered, one of my aunts gathered all of these pictures from the past from Thanksgiving and laid them all out. I mean, just hundreds of pictures from years gone by, and you know, just looking at those pictures from literally 35 and 40 years ago. I mean, I have the blessing, and I count it as a blessing, believe me, to have a family that has gathered together for 100 years and met. Now, we didn't have any pictures from 100 years ago, but we had pictures that she brought back when I was a child. Laying out and looking at all of this, and as I was driving home, I was asking Carrie, I said, "Son, what is it? Tell me one thing that the Lord spoke to you about this last weekend or this Thanksgiving." And he said, "Dad, it helps me. It gives me clarity. It helps me remember who I am, what the Lord has done." He said, "It's a spiritual journey for me." As we celebrate these things, that's what it is. When we celebrate anniversaries, when we celebrate birthdays, it should be a milestone, and we should celebrate and rejoice in the Lord, should we not? And these are good things. These are good things. Even my kids that were not there 40, 50 years ago, they get to hear stories. And it encourages them, right? And so we see this, and I believe that it is a common human craving to long for this time, these good times, right? These, even though they weren't, and there were struggles, you guys know. And there was unfaithfulness and unbelief and all that stuff. It was not the Garden of Eden. But there's a craving, is what I'm trying to say. When we read passages like this and we remember the stories, that there's a craving in us that we long for the rest and the peace of heaven. And it's built in us as believers. Even though none of us experienced the Garden of Eden, and we haven't yet experienced what Revelation 21 or John chapter 14 talks about, there's still a longing in us, even though we do not know, there's a longing in us of wanting to know these things, right? And even in this passage in Isaiah chapter 11, as they were sitting here thinking about the glory days, which was what? King David, right? And his peaceful kingdom, and how nobody picked on Israel back then. You hear me? Israel was a powerhouse under King David. And nobody did this. And so they longed, even though they had not been there, they longed for this. And so Isaiah picks up this thought, which is true of the root of Jesse, and teaches on this. We long for it to come, for there to be a thought in our minds of Eden and the future new earth. The purity of no one, there being no more sin, right? Can you imagine that? How about the peace of no more fighting, no more anger, no more hatred, animosity, and fear? No more even fighting amongst husband and wife that should be one flesh. Not even that. No more fighting in the church. No more fighting in the family. No more fighting in this world. A unity among brothers and sisters as they worship together with one heart. And what about this? No more pain, suffering, and sickness. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 11 spoke about this. What a magnificent vision he lays out that God gave him of what it will be like and how he is going to do this. And the prophet tells us that this is a reality. And it's interesting to me that as the prophet sees, he sees through not just the first coming, but he sees the second coming. Amen? This is the second coming. And so Isaiah is giving us this good vision. So let's look at this. The return of paradise. Our hope, right? The hope that we have in Christ. And we see in verse 1 that the king is humble. It's a humble beginning. It tells us that we shall come forth, our root, a stem shall come up, a branch shall grow up out of this stump, a branch. The vision of this perfect kingdom comes out of a humble beginning. Isn't that what God does? Right? Isn't that how the Lord works? Listen, I don't want to give anybody PTSD here, but we all went through Hurricane Michael. Right? And we all know how ugly a field looks that, well, the Gartmans didn't. Thank goodness. But we all know how ugly a field looks that's the forest is laid low and there's nothing but a bunch of stumps, right? And broken trees. And this is the humble beginning that this beautiful kingdom comes out of. And it's a picture for us that out of this stump, Isaiah sees this shoot coming up. A once mighty force laid low. God's people, Jerusalem, Israel. Isaiah is saying here, listen, you're this mighty force. God's about to lay you low. If you remember, He called Isaiah His rod of destruction. Assyria's only doing what God is calling it to do. So the voice, the vision, the hearing, the seeing of Isaiah, and he's painting this picture of this shoot coming out of a stump who was to be the king. And not only the king, but David's father. Jesse, he says, this stump of Jesse. Jesse was not anybody super prominent. He was just a man with a family, a shepherd. And God called this mighty king, and he's going to do it again. That's the picture here. That's the picture. Israel is on the brink of darkness. They're watching what the Assyrians are doing. They know what's about to come. And they're sitting there going, God, have you broke your promise? Have you left us? Are you going to just plow us under? Is the throne going to die? And the Lord gives him this vision. A mighty tree will grow out of this stump. So let's look at the humble king's description. We see the humble kingship, where it came from. Now let's look at the humble king's description in verse 2 through the very first verse of verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. Look at who he's describing here. Look at the description, how he builds upon it. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of rest, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of knowledge. He delights in fearing the Lord. The gift of the Holy Spirit here. All the things that come with this. It's a picture. It's a picture that he has given. Yet with all of Christ's authority that was given to him, he delighted in honoring his Father. He humbled himself. He feared the Lord.
You know, this is a verse. Verse 3 really is a picture of the Trinity, the Son, the Spirit, and the Father all are addressed here. It's a perfect picture of the Trinity working together, unified. And then we go on from the second part of verse 3 all the way through 5, where he says, "And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with iniquity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist." We see in this, Jesus is the perfect judge. This root of Jesse that comes out, this root that is born out of adversity, out of being laid low, that arises out of the dust, and then the Spirit of the Lord is laid upon him, rests upon him with all of the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, and then he judges humbly. He rules, the King rules over them humbly, when he could have just been a harsh judge and wiped them out. He does not judge as men judge, right? By just sight and just what they hear. He judges by what he knows. And he has full knowledge and full understanding, and nobody gets away. You can't say, "Well, I was ignorant." Hello, I don't know if this, I'm going to just speak loud. You know, I'm giving you a warning as American Christians. Hear me when I say this. I wonder how many believers in America are going to stand before God Almighty and say, "Well, Lord, I didn't know that," when they have all of this Bible references and scripture around them that they could have found out themselves. Do you know how many believers around the world don't even have a full Bible? And look at the study material that we have and how lazy we are. "Well, I didn't know." Well, I went to church every day for 40 years, and you don't know any more about Scripture than what your grandma taught you on her knee. Hello? That's right, Isaac. Amen. I mean, you will be held accountable. And I can't imagine what the Lord is going to say to some husbands here and say, "Why didn't you teach your wife? Why didn't you teach your children?" Hello? Amen. Thank you, Isaac. I'm going to sit Isaac right down here. And then I'm going to just preach to death, right? Amen. Amen. A humble king. And he's not going to judge like men judge. He knows every heart. He knows every situation. He's going to judge perfectly. Right? I think about that passage in Matthew 25. When he says, "I'm going to separate everybody, the goats and the sheep." Y'all know the passage, right? And he says, "And all the sheep to my right are, you enter into blessed holiness." And they say, "Well, what do we do?" And he said, "Well, when you saw me naked and afraid and broken, you fed me." Well, Lord, when did we see you like that? Well, as you've done to the least of them, you've done to me. And then he said, "Those to the left, to damnation. Because when you saw me naked and broken and afraid and hungry. You did not. Well, Lord, when did we see you like that? Matthew 25. So the last, second to the last point is the best point to me. So this shoot comes out of humble beginnings. Then we see the Spirit laid upon. So you see his character, his humble character. And then we see his humble rule, that he's not going to rule like a regular king. And then last, or the fourth, there's one more point. We see the humble king's, the peace that comes in his kingdom, which I'm going to read it because I love it. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Now this is, I don't think this is literal. So when I said that about the snakes, just so y'all know, but it may be. Who knows? I don't think so, but I think this is the best way that what Isaiah saw in this vision and was so overwhelmed, this is the best description he can lay out. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf with the young lion, and the fatling together. The little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. This is the key right here. You ready? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea. The peace. This verse drips. I mean, just drips with the harmony of peace and grace and mercy that the Lord has done this. And listen, you know, when the fall happened, when that happened in the garden, it wasn't just us that fell. All of creation fell. Everything that lives dies. Romans chapter 2 talks about that. All of creation, it moans for, it longs for Jesus to come back. The trees, the animals. I was talking to Caden even today because he came into church and he was talking about how it was raining. And I said, buddy, we needed the rain so badly. And I said, do you know all the animals, all of God's animals that are out there right now, they are just sitting there going, yes, it's raining. And his eyes, I mean, he was like, and we were talking about the rain and the grass, and although Gene's going to have to mow some more, but it's good. He's got to mow, right? The thorns and the thistles, he's got to pull them out. So, but the earth needs this. We're groaning for a Savior, right? And this is what the peace that this king brings. Not like King David, but this king that Isaiah sees, it's going to make everything right. Everything is going to be at peace. Everything. It drips with encouragement and hope. And that's why this verse we look at. And then the last verse, verse 10, our last point, verse 10 through 16, is a universal law. Now, I'm not going to read it. I've already read it once. But it talks about God gathering all of his people together, and all the enemies of God he's going to put down. And he's going to take care. He's going to deal with all of the enemies, and his people, there's going to be a banner and all of his people are going to come together. And there's going to be a new land and a new creation. And we're going to be one people and one tribe and one nation under one banner. So I did that. And we still have 15 minutes to spare. So in closing, let me ask you this. The cost of God's judgment upon Judah and Israel was Assyria coming down. And if you remember from our study of Isaiah, in 586, in 722, 586 were the Babylonians. 722 was the Assyrians, 722 BC. The Assyrians came down and just wiped out northern Israel. Do y'all remember that? Every city, everything. And they were encamping around Jerusalem. And God stopped them. Y'all remember the whole angels and 180,000 Assyrians dying in one night and all God saving them. But you might think, well, did God save them? Well, he saved Jerusalem. All the other cities fell. That was 722 BC. And it was a dark time, and God had wiped through them. And then in 586 BC with the Babylonians, he did it again. Because why? They didn't learn their lesson. And Isaiah saw that and said, y'all are still not going to, you're not doing what the Lord is asking you to do. And he's going to do it again. And he did. That was a time during Jeremiah's prophet time. And so we see this happening. But this is the point that I'm saying. God disciplines his people. He's going to discipline you and I. He's going to cut us down to the stump. But yet there's hope. And he will do this work in your life and in my life and in our lives. And he will grow this stump. How many times in our lives has the Lord just left a stump, right? Right? Amen. Where he just left us a stump and we were just broken and down. And yet that's when he does his greatest work. That's when he does what he does best. And this root, this little bloom comes out. I know there's definitely been times, if we look just over the last 1,000 years of church history, there's been times the church has been left to a stump and God has done his work. I know there's been times in your life, your personal life, God has left a stump. And look at what he's done. God has done this in our lives, and he's going to keep doing it. In our Sunday school lesson with the young people today, I was telling them, I was sharing passages out of Genesis about Jacob, about God telling Jacob, I'm going to do this work in you. And then he says the same word to Joshua after he wouldn't let Moses go in. And Joshua was like, how am I going to lead these people? And he's like, I'm going to do this work. And I keep telling our young people, you do what God is calling you to do right now, and you let God do his work through you, right? There are times when God leaves a stump. but there's light coming. When God leaves a root, he grows it. And you may feel like there's no root, but it is the root of salvation. It's that root that grows so deep nobody sees it but the Lord. And that's what he uses. And he uses it in my life, and he uses it in your life. He uses it in our families' lives, in our friends, and he uses it. That's what he does, but he has to cut the tree down sometimes that he grew. It's his tree. And he sometimes has to humble us. So this is hope. This is the hope that Isaiah is laying out for his people, and I think for you and I, that as we start this Advent year and we light the candle of hope here, that we know Jesus is coming back. He's come one time, and he's promising us that he's coming again. And guys, this light, as Paul says, this light momentary affliction, amen, will all pass away. Light momentary affliction. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your hope, for the vision that Isaiah saw in chapter 11, for the hope that we have in the future of what it's going to be like. And a child will have full knowledge of the Lord, and a child will be able to lead all things. That's what it says. That the knowledge of the Lord will fill all the earth. Lord, we long for that. We can't wait for that. We come together this Christmas season celebrating that you've come the first time, and our hearts, forgive us, Lord, if this is wrong, but our hearts cannot wait for you to come the second time. We want things to be made right, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.